Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More players having daughters, is this like a trend that will...
It's good if we'll see what's if you're scoring and scoring touchdowns after having daughters. So the last 7 days for Dawson Knox has been really cool, going back to the Bengals game and how well he's been playing great football all year, but playing good football and then having a baby girl and everything. I know he's gonna remember this week for the rest of his life.
What went into Dalton's playing time? Is that a situation where you're still maybe working him back from injury, or is it game plan based?
I'd be lying to you if we go into every game and it's like, hey, this is the exact snap count we're going to have. Like, it's hard for that to it's hard for me to – I have an idea of, hey, what we'd like it to be. Tell me the type of plays. It can't be predictable when he's out on the field type of things in certain situational football. But we're obviously a better football team when he is out on the field. Some of that is depending on how the games are being played and some of the matchups and whatnot. Anytime I come off the field and he's playing 25 plays, I'd love for him to be playing 45, 50. But some of that has to do with, some of the plays I'm rolling with and some of the matchups throughout the game.
Joe, you guys have been using the tight ends and running backs a lot in the receiving game. It's been at the top of the league since week 8 in different categories. Why have they been so productive in the last several weeks?
I believe in the skill sets that we have across all the units, are so important in our success because we're able to look at each week and say, hey, where do we feel like there's favorable matchups for us? And not just say, hey, that we're just going to, this is just what we do no matter what. And how can we get those guys in positions? And, fortunately, we've had some of those matchups the last few weeks. And Josh has done a great job of getting those guys involved and making the plays. And, that was something obviously early in the season, not getting the running backs involved a little bit. And, some of the teams that we thought we had some matchups in the tight ends, I didn't do a good enough job of kind of getting that kind of going. And so, what's been cool to me is just seeing just the trust that Josh just has in everybody and just executing the game plan and not caring about anything else other than, hey, this guy's open, I'm going to throw it to him. And, obviously when you got a tight end group like we have, you trust all three of them to make the play wherever they are. And so it's a lot of benefits to that.
I remember when Dalton was drafted, so much was talked about immediately about how much this offense could run 12 personnel or two tight ends on the field. Do you feel like as the play caller, you've evolved and gotten more comfortable with how to deploy them simultaneously to kind of have maximum impact?
Yeah, offense? I think just to say, hey, you can just go 12 personnel in today's football, no matter the team, and just blindly say that, not fully understanding exactly. Not saying that those exact words, but not fully understanding exactly how the matchups are. And, some teams play nickel, some teams play base. Sometimes it's a matchup thing. And, and I think just to say, hey, you can just live in 12 personnel. There's too many different versions and variations of 12 personnel for us. So I think we'll be going to each week, and if there's ways and elements that we can get, you know, Dalton out on the field in 12, just like we look at in 13 personnel and 22, hey, we're going to always find those ways in the matchups. And but I think it's always tough to just say, hey, you can just be a 12 personnel team in today's football, you know, depending on the type of skill sets in those tight ends and the 12 personnel.
Josh mentioned
only at least. Sorry, only at least. Like, it's got to be an element to your offense, but I don't think it can be the only thing you can do in your offense.
Josh mentioned after the game that it seems like good things happen when Ty Johnson touches the ball. He didn't have like an overwhelming statistical game, but you know, the key third down at the end there with a chance to ice the game, you call his number. What is it about, you know, his game that, you know, that you trust him in that situation? And it's a twofold question. The second part being, how challenging is it for him and Ray also to get as many touches as maybe you'd want them to get when James is going as well as he has really all year?
Yeah. Look, I think I go back to like the first game I called here, and I remember just talking with Ty, and obviously wanted to get the running backs involved, and he had the Woody boot, the roll pass, you know, for the touchdown. And I value guys that just do the right thing on a consistent basis, and you know where they're going to be, and they're going to be prepared and ready to go when their time comes. And Ty Johnson is the perfect example, because to your point, he doesn't get all the opportunities. He does a lot of dirty work. But when his opportunity comes and the ball's in his hands, good thing happens. It is a tough balance. It's a great problem to have with the running back room that we have. It's been a lot of fun seeing Ray Davis get going at the kick return position, you know, and taking advantage of that. But the way, you know, obviously the way that Jimbo's playing, you know, it's a tough room to kind of get out on the football field. And, you know, we're trying to continue to find different ways to get both of those guys out on the field at the same time. And, but when the ball's in Ty's hands, good things happen. And, a lot of trust in him, shoot the last play of the game, right? And trust in him that he's going to find a way to get the first down there. And, but like I said, you do the right thing. You're where you need to be when you're supposed to be there. Good things are going to happen. He's a perfect example of that.
A little bit that he is an expecting father. He didn't just find out this week. I'm just curious what you've seen from him in this chapter of his life, his reaction to becoming a dad, and any advice you've given him from any books that you've had to read on being the expecting father.
I think all the personal questions I keep to look, I wasn't even there for my daughter's birth. I was just coaching a football game, so I'm one guy to not give advice for that. I didn't find out until after a game. So Josh is as well-rounded, mature. He's going to be an incredible father, just like he's an incredible husband, and excited for the next chapter of him. I get the version of him on a day-to-day basis, you know, from a finding out what we got to do, what's the game plan and all that. So it's really cool seeing the different elements of him, obviously. I wasn't here from his rookie year, but excited for the next chapter. But I know all his focus right now is making sure, you know, find a way to get this win and get us to where we need to get to.
Sean said that Josh has done a really good job of taking what the defense has given him in the last 2 weeks, being able to not take it all on one play in some comeback victories. How have you seen him really lock in those moments?
Yeah, I mean, that's his greatness. And that's, we've had the message, you know, look, I don't really like to have the halftime speeches that we kind of have had to have, but I think there's so much power in knowing, like, you can't get all the points in one drive. And, you know, and there comes that tendency to feel like you have to make the extraordinary plays. And, like, we just need you to do the ordinary jobs just on a consistent basis. And when you're a leader, don't get me wrong, he's playing at such a high level. That helps. But when your leader just embodies that and is not feeling like he has to do something outside of the system and feel like he has to force a throw or do something, it allows everybody else to play with that freedom as well. And, I think he's playing at such at a high level. Obviously, we'd like to start the game a little faster with where it was, but not seeing his panic, it's easy for the rest of our guys not to panic.
One of the topics bouncing around the league is pure progression passing. How do you view the concept and its place in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think defensive coordinators, right, do such a great job of showing you one thing, giving you something different. Hey, you know, how much the game has evolved from just, hey, this is the look you're getting, one high, two high read splits, you know, where I think it's evolving to, hey, you might have an alert on a play, but outside of that, I mean, most offenses are living in pure progression reads where you don't care about the cover, you don't care about the coverage, and you can just say, I'm going to throw it to him, and they take it away, I'm going to throw it to him and move on, as opposed to, hey, I think it's one high, I'm going to work this side, or shoot, I was fooled, now what? You know, that's obviously something I've always kind of really believed in as it was. You know, that's a big part of kind of who we are, and where Josh can just kind of throw it to that person and just progress across the board. But I just think the defenses are doing such a great job nowadays of so many things look like it is pre-snap. And if you live in a progression read, you can just work through it and not care about what it's going to look like post-snap.
How do you deal with Myles Garrett?
I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I don't know if anybody really – I don't know if you figure that out. Look, he's I just started obviously watching the tape, but I'm understanding of the season that he's having right now. And look, he's literally the best there is, and it's going to be a huge challenge for us. You know, we're going to obviously sort through that, but it's a great opportunity for our guys. You know, he's the best, and for us to be able to rise to that occasion and block the best. But he's having as good of a season. I mean, sure, their defense is outstanding. So it's going to be a great challenge for us. I believe all guys will be ready.
Reggie Gilliam played through some pretty significant injuries last year and the year before, really. What was it like for you as a play caller just to see him persevere through that and make sure that he's there for his teammates and just the growth from him the last couple of years?
Reggie does so much for a football team without the ball. In my opinion, Reggie Gilliam should be an all-pro fullback. If you guys need to make the movement or whatever you guys got to do, but fullbacks don't get a lot of love. A lot of teams don't play with fullbacks, but they don't catch touchdowns. They don't get a lot of yards. They don't do a lot, but Reggie Gilliam in certain games, some games we're not in a lot of 21 or 22. Just tell me how the game goes, but some games it's a big part of, like right now, the run game that we had, so much of it is because of what Reggie Gilliam's been able to do. And he's had a lot of injuries and off seasons that aren't a lot of fun, but he's come back, and he approaches practice, whether he has two plays in the game plan or whether he has 20, he's rolling, ready to go. And but again, another guy that not many guys can play in a tight end room, understand what the tight ends have to do, play the fullback position, put his hand in the dirt and block a tight end position and play the fullback, like so many things that he does, and then go down on special teams. Like I said, I think he's playing at an all-pro level this year, and, you know, just unfortunately that's not a position that gets a lot of the love.
Keon's game yesterday, the lack of involvement in the passing game, or just kind of how it played out for him, whether the defense was playing him a certain way or what went into that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wish I come. I always want to come out of every game and feeling like, man, you know, everybody got involved, and you know, that's, you know, you can say the same thing about Josh Palmer. I can say the same thing about B. Cooks yesterday. Like, there's a lot of guys you come away and you're like wishing that they got, you know, either more targets or, you know, we were more productive with it. And you know, and that's the battle that I always fight on the shoulders. Like, I want to get everybody involved. I want to. You know, sometimes plays don't come off the call sheet. Sometimes, you know, Josh is doing a good job working through his progressions and finding other outlets. Sometimes there's some favorable matchups within the plays or the games that, you know, that he's working and whatnot. So, look, I'd love, I know it's natural. You got a guy coming off of this and, you know, a second year, and when he's not getting the targets, it's questioning whether we believe in him or whatnot, but that's not the case. It's, you know, there's a reason he was back up and rolling, and I still have so much faith and belief in him. And, you know, I wish, like I said, obviously I wish I got him the rock a little bit more yesterday. He's doing all the right things and deserving of these opportunities again. But I think right now he's in the same place as everybody else. Like, we don't give a dang about anything else besides finding a way to win football game. And that's all our focus is.
How does it help your run game to run the same concept of shotgun versus under center?
I think it helps, but there's so much more to it than just running the same concept from the gun and under center, because there's an element of where you're getting the ball and the depth that you're getting the ball, and your reads are different, the linebackers' alignments are different, and so there's so many different nuances that you have to coach, you know, the same play from the gun and under center, and as opposed to just like, hey, we're just running a zone scheme. And that's where I think the evolution of our running back room, you know, our O-line room with Chrome and those guys just talking through of how they see it, and James Cook's, you know, taking his knowledge of football to another level. But anytime we can run the same scheme but just give it a different look, I think is important. But there is a lot that comes with just a difference of under center and the gun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.